Welcome to the Rock Harbor Podcast. We're so glad you've decided to tune in today. We'd love to stay connected with you, and one of the best ways to do that is through our social media platforms, at Rock Harbor TV. Also, we'd encourage you to download the Rock Harbor app. It's one of the best ways to follow along with today's teaching and the best way to stay connected with everything going on here at Rock Harbor. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you guys very much for that. And my name is Scott Nolan. I'm the executive director of Next Gen Ministries. And that's just a super duper fancy way of saying I oversee babies through high school or diapers through diplomas. Now, I have been part of Rock Harbor on staff for the last 11 years. I remember when there was four of us on staff. Now there are four Scots on staff. I don't know, it was a popular name 45 years ago. If your name is Scott and you're young, come introduce yourself to me because I have yet to meet anybody under 40. I have been a part of and overseen the Our Kids Ministry, the Slingshot Middle School Ministry, and the ministries that I oversee now. But by far, the most important ministry that I have ever been a part of are these guys right here, right there. That is the Nolan Triad. That's my wife, Andrea. We've been married for 23-ish years, and that's my daughter, Ella. She is studying to be a middle school teacher, so prayers for just sanity and mental health for her would be much appreciated. Now, like I said, they are my greatest ministry. They are the biggest blessing in my life. I have seen God work through them in incredible ways. I've seen the characteristics of God just shine through them. Things like love and joy and peace and hope and patience for me and forgiveness for me and grace for me. There is definitely a pattern that goes along there. My greatest blessing. But I have probably failed them more times than I have any other ministry. And there's a lot of reasons for that. A lot of that is pride and selfishness on my part. But also parenting. Man, parenting is just hard. It is not easy. It's not like when Ella was born into this world, like an owner's manual was attached to her, right? That told Andrea and I how to keep her running smoothly for the next 300,000 miles. It doesn't happen that way. There is no cookie cutter approach. Every family is going to look different. And when I think of families now, of parents now who have young kids and the things that you have to navigate, things that we didn't even have to think about 10 years ago, the social media side of things and technology, and you have AI, which is kind of weird, and you have state-mandated curriculums, which is always a fun thing to kind of walk through. You guys have so much on your plates. But when parenting does get hard, and it always does, I have to remind myself this, and I want to remind you guys this as well. Right? There are no perfect kids, there are no perfect parents, but you know what? We serve a perfect God who in his perfect wisdom decided that you are the right parent, grandparent, guardian for your kids. Right? Lean into that truth. God does not make mistakes. You are their parent for a reason. So as parents, how do we love and lead our kids through these different obstacles? Right? How do we teach them the truths that God wants them to know? Well, we tell them, we take them, and we test them. And for my time up here with you guys, I want to talk through that first one, tell them. And the first thing we have to tell them is the truth. We need to tell them the truth, not what society says the truth is, or what this world says what the truth is, or what the latest social media guru what the truth is, but what is God's truth? Deuteronomy 6:5-7 says this. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be upon whose heart? Your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." See, I absolutely believe that this is God's blueprint for the spiritual formation of our families. But before we can even talk about telling our kids these truths, we need to be living out these truths in our own lives. Right? We need to be setting that example of what a true follower of Jesus looks like. That's why it says, "These commands I give you today are to be upon your hearts, parents, upon your hearts, guardians, upon your hearts, grandparents." Before it says, "Now go ahead and teach them to your kids." See, parenting is not just about what you are doing in the lives of your children. It first has to start with the work that God is doing in your own life, with the work that God is doing in your own heart. It's not enough just to call yourself a Christian parent. Anybody can call themselves a Christian. Just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't mean that you are following Jesus closely. we need to be Christ-centered parents. See, when you're a Christ-centered parent, God isn't just part of your life. He's not just this really cool add-on or like a genie that you take out when life is going hard and you make your wishes and then you put them back in the box when life is going well. When you are Christ-centered, God is at the root of everything. He is the foundation of every decision that you make. Parents, being Christ-centered is your greatest calling in life. Because when you are loving your kids and when you are loving God with all of your heart, soul, and might, your kids, they're not only going to hear what it's like to follow Jesus, they're going to see you guys living out those same truths. And I think that biblical truth is always best understood through relationships. Now, this book absolutely is absolute truth. It is the Word of God, right? It is living, it is breathing. But if you don't have a connection to your Creator, if you don't have a relationship with God, this book can quickly become just that, a book, just a book of rules. And that's not how God intended any of this, right? Our God is a God of relationships, not a God of rules. So parents, just like we have a connection with God, a connection with our Father, we need to be having those same sort of connections with our own kids. See, parents who have a heart connection with their kids are so much more likely to influence them spiritually, right? We can't force our kids to love Jesus. We can't force a faith on their kids. That has to be their choice. That has to be their decision. But I do think there are some things that we can do as parents to help influence those choices. And I want to talk about two of them right now, just real quickly. The first one is simply just be present in the lives of your kids. Spend time with your kids for no other reason except to get to know them better. I remember when Ella was probably about 4 or 5 years old. And I remember starting having these conversations with her about, hey, honey, I love you. I want to be part of your life. I want to be a safe place for you to come to. I want to hear all about the good stuff, all the bad stuff, all the questions that you have. We're going to fight for this relationship. Because I had seen way too many times growing up, especially with dads and daughters, how as they get older, dads kind of back off. And I didn't want that for our relationship. So she would ball up her little 4-year-old hand, and I would take mine, and we'd hit them together, and we'd say, home team, because that's what we were. We were a home team. We're going to fight for this relationship. Now, I wish I could say that that's exactly the way it went. It didn't. Life always can get in the way with things, and I found myself getting busy on things. And as she got older, she fought for that relationship. She was doing the brunt of carrying that weight of fighting for the relationship. And I remember her sitting me down multiple times, which isn't easy for a daughter to sit down and tell her dad, hey, where are you at, dad? What's going on? I need you here. I want you to be part of my life. I want to share all of these things that's going on in my life. I want to be able to have you answer all of these questions, but where are you? Put down your phone. Turn off ESPN or all the work-related things that you have going on. Those things are going to be there. I'm only going to be here for a short amount of time. I'm only going to be in this phase of life for a short amount of time. That's all you have with me. That is not an easy thing for a daughter to say to a dad, and that is not an easy thing for a dad to hear from their daughters. Parents, so I want to challenge you guys right now. Spend time with your kids. Be present with your kids. Be present in every phase of their life. Because like I said, it goes by so quickly, and then it's gone. And they're on to new likes. Their personality can start changing more. You've got to be present to help them walk through those things. And if you have a relationship with your child and you don't like where it's at, don't believe in the lie that it's too late to change. That's exactly where Satan wants to keep you. He wants to keep you in that shame. Don't believe that for one moment. Do the work. Have those tough conversations and then just give the rest to God and watch God, watch him work in the relationship that you have with your kids. So be present. The second thing I would have us do is just words of affirmation. When I say words of affirmation, I don't mean everybody gets a trophy. You do not become the Oprah Winfrey of, you get a trophy and you get a trophy and you get a trophy. Everybody gets trophies. That's not what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. Life is harsh. Life is harsh for our kids. This world is screaming so many different lies and so many different just words at our children. Now, I've had the humbling experience to have a front row seat to the life of a lot of your children. And I've been able to have just amazing conversations with them. But I've also heard the words that they hear day in and day out. The lies that they hear day in and day out about who they have to be, how they have to act, what they have to do in order to fit in order to feel accepted, in order to just be known. And the more and more your kids hear those things, the more and more they're going to believe those lies. And then they go down a dark path when that happens. So as parents, that's where we need to step in. Parents, your words have so much power. When you are speaking truth over your kids, when you're letting them know, no, you are created in the image of God. All that stuff that the world says is wrong. You were made on purpose for a purpose. When you can speak those types of truths into the lives of your children, when those storms hit, and they will hit, your kids are gonna have an identity, right, that they can wrap themselves around. They're gonna know who and where that identity comes from. Let your kids hear that you're proud of them, not because of what they accomplished, but simply because of who they are, who God created your children to be, right? One day, your kids are going to stand before the throne of God, and you know what he's not going to care about? He's not going to care about GPAs and batting averages. He's going to care about, were you obedient to me? Did you follow me? Did you love me? Did you point other people to me? So we need to be telling our kids these truths and speaking God's word over the hearts of our children. And one of the best ways to do that is the second thing that we need to tell our kids, stories. We need to tell our kids stories. Now, Keith once said this. I want to make sure that I read this quote right so he doesn't like dock my pay. It says this. It says, "The best evidence of God's faithfulness in the future is his consistent faithfulness in the past." And I love that. I love that. Parents, that's exactly what we need to be doing. We need to be passing on our own stories of faith to our kids. And the Bible is full of different examples of that. I want to speak into one of those right now. We're going to jump back into the Old Testament in the book of Joshua. And God has just done another miracle. Joshua has led the Israelites to the promised land, and God just parted the Jordan River, and they walked across on dry ground. And while that was happening, Joshua told 12 different men who represented the 12 tribes of Israel, he told them, take these big rocks, take these boulders, and carry them across with you. Now, why would he have them do such a thing? Was it like the first CrossFit? I don't know. But Joshua 4:21 is going to tell us. It tells us this. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. See, the memorial of these 12 stones was to be a constant reminder of God's faithfulness to his people. Their children, they would hear these stories, and they would see these stones, and they would learn all about God's presence and provision and his power. So parents, my question for you, what are your memorial stones? Do you take time to tell your kids what God has done for you? For those of you who are in here who are saved, have your kids heard your salvation story? Have they heard about how the Holy Spirit led you to make that decision? Have they heard about what your life was like before Jesus to what your life was like after Jesus? Have you told them about how God has met your needs, how he's answered your prayers? Have you had conversations with them about, you know what? I have struggled in my faith in these moments, but God showed up and he redeemed everything that I was going through. Have your kids heard those stories? See, that tradition that Joshua started all those years ago, it continued on. Throughout parts of the Middle East, you can find these. These are called standing stones. And these signified a moment when God miraculously showed up for his people. See, throughout Scripture, God uses standing stones as people. And he used people as standing stones. And he still does today. People whose lives point others to Jesus. Parents, that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be living as standing stones for our kids, telling them the truth and sharing stories of God's greatness with them. Parents who live as standing stones, they know this. They know that it's not just about them. They know that it's not just about their kids, but it's about the generations that come after them. And there's a great scripture that speaks into that. Psalm 78, 4 through 7 says this. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. The next generation might know them. Children yet even unborn would know the hope of God. Parents, your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, generations of kids you will never meet. They are depending on you. They are counting on you right now to step out in faith, to step out in courage, and be obedient to the calling that God has put on your life as a parent. Right now, you can end generational cycles of disobedience. Because the generations that come after us, they don't have to suffer through a godless hopelessness. Because that generational cycle of sin, of shame, of guilt, of abuse, of addiction, you guys can end those things right now. You can end them right now, stepping out in courage and doing it. Repenting of your sins, calling on the almighty name of Jesus, laying everything at his feet, surrender it all to him, and then watch him. Watch him. Watch him multiply your purpose, your life, and the generations of family that come after you. Watch him. Right now, guys, I'm really excited to share a video with you. Now, this is a family that attends Rock Harbor Church, and this is a video about three generations of this family that are chasing after Jesus. They aren't perfect, but they're living as standing stones to their kids, telling them the truth and sharing stories of God's faithfulness with them. Check this out.
I'm Steve Oliver, and I've been a Christian for nearly, I'm not that old, but nearly 70 years.
And I'm Sue Oliver, same thing.
I was raised in Whitney Friends Church when I was a kid. A lot of people know the exact date and time that they met the Lord, they were saved. Mine was sometimes around the fifth or sixth grade, but my parents were great inspiration, and they showed me what kindness and friendliness and in their character, and it kind of, I think, kind of rubbed off a little bit of me, and I kind of took that as from their legacy to me.
So Sunday was the day that we spent at church, and we also spent talking. And at the dinner table, we always had huge discussions, and it could be political or whatever, but often it was discussions on the Bible and on things that we'd heard. And when I was 10 and my cousin was 11, we were baptized. And that was a big event.
After graduation from the University of Idaho, I went to the Army, and we served in Benelux, Germany. Our son was born February 28th, 1972 in Nuremberg Military Hospital. We got him home, tried to figure out, now what do we do, you know? And so we both got together and kind of started talking about it to say, well, if we love them, some other things that we might have not accomplished in parenting might have been overlooked.
He'd been around babies. I'd never been around babies. I didn't know what to do with this thing. It was so darn cute, and we were so glad to have him. And then 2.5 years later, Aubrey came along, and we christened them. We made sure, you know, that they went to Easter, and we did all those things. But we weren't moving in a church because we couldn't find one.
One day, got out of the service, we came back to Boise, and our son, Jad, found a church, a youth group, got involved.
I mean, when they found this church, we were so excited, and we grew with them. As they grew, we grew. We weren't perfect. We wanted it for them, but we couldn't do it for them. They had to do it for themselves. And they did when they got to this church. When they found this church, I mean, we were all in.
Our house was always open. Everyone lived in our house. Massive amounts of love and acceptance and fun. And one of the kids moved away. And when he moved away, he found friends, and one of them was a pastor's son. And he went to youth group, and then he brought my brother to youth group. And then my brother brought me, and then we brought my parents, and it's just like from then on, it was like this really cool thing of us growing together and coming to understanding what it is to live a Christian life after that, maybe. What I noticed the most about my parents' faith is that they are teachable, They didn't know it all, and they were okay with that. They were humble in the fact of just like, they know that they needed help and they needed other people around them to help them walk it.
And so it was like, we were sharing faith on the same level, even though they were in junior high, it didn't matter. Faith is faith is faith across the board. And so we got to talk about things. She'd come in and she'd say, I don't understand this. And then I watched people pour into their lives. And
that was the main thing.
That was really awesome. And one of them asked me, were you ever jealous that I took your daughter away? I said, never, because they needed someone else besides the small window they lived in. They needed to be able to be out with other people and to have people enrich them. And so, and I watched it, and I watched them make their mistakes and come to us. We were wide open about it.
I don't know if I was compelled to follow Christ because of my parents, but I know that I wasn't pushed away. And when I came to Christ, I didn't have to step over anything to see Christ that my parents had done. When I read the words that Jesus loves me, I could accept it right away because I've been loved and accepted my whole life. When it says to sacrifice or serve, that didn't surprise me because I've seen that in my parents.
Stevenson would talk a lot about loving their kids. Probably the first conversation I had was The serious conversation that I had with Steve was when I asked for his daughter's hand in marriage. And he said, if I ever erred too much as a parent, I erred on the side of love. And in that moment, I was just like, boy, if I'm going to make a mistake as a parent, I hope that I can say that that's how I messed up.
1 Corinthians 13, it talks about love and all the great things that love is, and ends with the greatest thing that remains is love. And so that is just so evident in both my grandparents' life. Knowing that I come from a family of believers makes me believe in the promises of God more, because He has promised, and I believe it's Proverbs, that if you raise up children right, then they will continue in the faith. So the generational faith is a real thing. If you are raised up righteous, God will take care of your children.
Seeing our children come to follow the Lord, it validates hundreds of hours of prayer, thousands of conversations that we've had with them, and God is faithful in the important things. And when we didn't have the answers, He showed up and He helped us.
It's faith. It's the understanding that there's more people involved than just us, as it commends in the Bible, you know, to open your hands and, you know, give them the children. We were just so grateful for the extended families, and we were grateful for church family that kind of grew around and helped us grow as our kids were growing. My advice to young parents is continue to grow, continue to try to be an example, if you will, by demonstrating your commitment and your heart for faith and your heart for the Lord.
What I think is pray for them, pray with them, and always be intentional. Always find them in their worst places and in their best places, and to keep that sense of humor, and that your answer is in the Bible. It's there. You know, if you just look, if you just sit down and breathe and look, always, always be open to them, always be there. Even when they tell you not to be there 5 minutes earlier, you know, and just be with them and they'll be with you.
Wow, what an incredible story and journey of God's faithfulness. You know, it really is God's faithfulness. It's not, you know, I look at Steve and Sue, and I've been privileged to know them for 25 years, and to watch when their kids, who are my age, have grown, and marriage, and kids, and all of that, and then going to grandparents, and we just look at that and go, man, the Lord is so good, the Lord is so faithful. Any family's made up of a bunch of sinners, no matter how good you are, right? It's just, it's grace, love, as we heard them share, and just praise God for that. And when you think about it, like, this didn't just happen. It's intentional. It's an intentional step in the parenting. It's an intentional step in the disciple making. It's an intentional step as grandparents. It's an intentional step by grandson and sons to be able to take, like, it matters. It matters what we do with our life. And when we think about, like, discipling or leading other people, I want to give you, like, the third point, okay? It's take them. Take them with you. When you think of, as Scott shared about the journey across the riverbed of Jordan on dry ground and the memorial stones and the beauty of that moment that took place right there, I always think of the adults that were going. There were kids with them. There were kids taking those steps of faith. There were kids that were going, hey, I don't know how this is going to go. Take them. Take them with you. When you go through trials, when you go through difficult times, or dad's struggling with employment stuff right now, or there are things that are going on, or this diagnosis. I mean, you know your kids. You share with them appropriately, but at the same time, take them through those steps of faith. They're watching you. You got to think with the end in mind. Like, where do we want to go? Where do we want our kids to end up? And it takes intentional steps to get there. Where this person I'm discipling, these people I'm in life with, where are we headed with this? It has to be intentional. And more is caught than taught. Because you may say, oh, we're all about Jesus, or we're all about church, or we're all about these things. We're about building the kingdom of God. We want to seek first. We say one thing. Are we doing another? Because more is caught than taught. It's not, you heard from the family, it's not like, hey, just love each other. No, love was demonstrated in hard, difficult, painful, disciplinary times. That imitate me as I imitate Christ, 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 1. It's saying, like, where are we taking people? Think about that. Where are you taking people in your life? Who's following you, and where are you taking them? Because they're watching you. And as a parent, you want to take them to great places, more experiences and different things. Are you taking them to serve? Are you taking them to lay their life down for other people? Are you taking them to difficult places? They're watching you. They're serving alongside you. You want to raise a servant, right? You want that kid to be hospitable. You want your children or those that you're discipling, you want them to grow up in the attributes of Christ. Are we taking them there because we're going there ourselves? Because that's what discipleship looks like. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. And the last point is probably my favorite. And it's a bonus one. Because they only get, Keith, you only get one. Watch this. It's test them. You got to test them. And this is the tough one because we want to give our kids everything. We want to give them things we didn't have growing up. We want to give them experience and opportunity. And then we are the first ones to complain about entitlement. Right? Entitlement is annoying, and you can quote me on that. And entitlement is also a tool of the devil. A tool of the devil. That thing that you wanted to bless them with. Blessings, listen to this, blessings we can't handle turns into curses we can't control. A blessing you wanted in your life. You were blessed with resources and money, or you inherited something. You watch it take place. When someone is granted things, watch how they handle it, because it's dangerous. It could be a curse they cannot control. In your parenting, you want your kid to have a phone. Why? Because it's easier for you. You want to put a honing device on them where you know where they're at all times. They can call, you can find them, you can be late, and you'll be handled, because you wanted to stay a little bit later, so you got them the phone. It was a blessing, and then it turns into a curse. That's my phone. It ain't your phone. It's my phone. I own that phone. If you're not home on time, I'll shut the phone off. Will you please approve this app? Hey, I want to do this. Can I please? Everybody's on this device. Everybody's on this. I need a new one of these. This is old. Why would you give me something like this? This is the worst. Like, how much data do I have? Like, all of the stuff. A blessing spun out of control is a curse. Do you realize that phone that you just gave them? You just handed a young man porn to put in his pocket. You did. You handed him a device. It's this close, he can look at whatever he wants. And as much as you've worked and you'll put together some systems and praise God for resources out there that can help, that car that she wanted so bad, and you want her to have it because you want her to have what other people, and you, here's the reality, you buy a car at this level because you don't want to have to work on the car at this level. So you give them a blessing that they probably shouldn't have, and you're still paying on it, but you're annoyed because they're not getting where they're supposed to be, but you wanted to make it convenient because it's just going to be so much easier when they can drive. It'll be easier when they pick them up, and then it's a curse because you don't get the time with your kids in the car. And you're not talking on the way there and the way back. No, they're talking to someone else. They're texting someone else. They're doing whatever they want, whenever they want. As long as they're on time, what am I doing? Well, your car's dirty. Well, their room was dirty before that. Are you going to ever clean your car? Are you going to fix your car? Have you looked at their room? You want to bless them with the car and they couldn't take care of a bike. Think about it. You can clap. And all the teenagers are like, I hate this church. I used to like that guy. I don't like him anymore. Good. I'm going on a sabbatical on June 1st. I don't like you either. But here's the thing. It can be done in love. And I know I got a little fired up. I had a little, like there was some stuff in me that I had to get out. But we want to bless our kids and we love our kids. But we also need to know, like, testing is powerful. Do you understand what the Lord God did to the children of Israel? Do you understand what God tells us to do and what he wants to do in you? He wants to test you, not to crush you, to refine you. Look at an Old Testament and a New Testament passage. Jeremiah 9:7, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and test them, for what else can I do? This is God. God saying, I want to stir up in them. I want them to fight because it's going to get difficult. It's going to get hard. I can give you everything, but I'm not going to give you everything because I want you to know the provision came from God. Parents, grandparents, some of you grandparents, you overstep a line, and I'll just tell you right now, some of you, you want to bless those grandkids and you just want to go like this, because mom and dad aren't giving those things to them. Hey, if you're gonna go like this, let it be in the way of faith. Bless those kids. If their parents aren't gonna bring faith to them, you can overstep that bound. I think God's completely okay with that. But I will also tell you, honor and respect, because you didn't desire to have the same thing. And you are maybe creating some entitlement. Put the verse back up there. What do you think? I'm not done with the verse. Oh my goodness, I hadn't even read that. You thought I moved on. We're talking. We're gonna talk after this, Sean. You realize how much control he has over my life right now. There is so much stuff he can throw on the screen and ruin my life forever, okay? 1 Peter 1:7, so to test the genuineness, thank you, Sean, of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found as a result of praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Think about that, to be tested by fire. Those are the people you want working on your house, someone that's worked on a house. Someone that's been tested. Those are the people you want to go to battle with because they've been tested. They're going, oh, we can do this. We can make it when the world gets tough. Prayer, the power of prayer. You want a brotherhood. You want a sisterhood. You want family members. You want people around that when the going gets tough, we're not going to back down because our faith, we walked on dry ground across the Jordan. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one that is approved. Meaning, you've been tested as a follower of Jesus, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. God's word is the priority and the foundation of your life. Parenting aside, the provision that comes from the Lord, not just earthly blessings and parents, from God. You want that child, you want to be that individual, you want that person you're discipling, you want to be the follower that's on your knees going, Lord, it's you and me. When that marriage is tough, it's you and me. When all the things are difficult, it's you, Lord. And it takes intention to get there. And it doesn't just happen. Because the will of a person, it is forged and it's built, it's not bought. So no matter how much money you have, no matter what your family heritage is, it's gonna take you intentionally on your knees to take that step into the Jordan. Not just because you're following the other people in front of you, but if you're following anyone, let it be a disciple that's making a disciple that's making a disciple. Let it be a healthy church that's planting healthy churches. Let it be in a ministry. You want your kids to be hospitable and serving? Are you hospitable and serving? Man, I want my kids to be a servant of all, just like Jesus. Are you a servant of all, just like Jesus? Man, I want my kids to serve in kids' ministry because then they'll learn and they can reach back because this was done for me and this would be great. Are you doing that? Take someone with you. I talked to a family at the last service. Three of them were wearing those Our Kids Buddy shirts and one in the middle wasn't, and he was the dad. And he looked at me and I said, where's your shirt? He said, I have one on. I said, that's about beards. Where's your shirt? And he goes, well, I've been feeling uncomfortable for a while. And maybe today's the day. And the kids they're all looking at him like, Dad, you're called out. His name's Rick. I want to keep it anonymous for the most part. It was amazing. Are you serving? Are you taking your kids with you? Are you hospitable? Are you taking your kids with you? Are you discipling people? What are you loving and leading them towards? Because you may say one thing, but where is your treasure? Because there you'll find your heart. And it's about making disciples. It's about being built and formed and fashioned and refined. And as hard as it is, man, that testing, that's where it's at. Lord, we come before you. We praise you. You're faithful. You're good. You're just. And you want more out of us than what we even have inside of us. But if your Holy Spirit resides in us, God, this world needs to get out of the way. That narrow road is less populated all the time, but that narrow road that leads to you, the one that's difficult and windy, oh, that tested for what purpose? For eternal purposes. God, let us be eternally minded with our life. Let us think with the end in mind. We ask this in your glorious, great name. Amen.
Well, hey, we believe in next steps, and we'd love to help you take yours. So over the last few minutes, maybe you felt the Lord has called you to something new, whether that's prayer, a conversation, or meeting a need specifically. We'd encourage you to DM us on a social media channel or email us at info@rockharbor.tv. Thanks for being here.